Shall we pray? Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou hast gathered us together in thy province, in thy providence, within the walls of thy house. We have gathered together with the mourning family, where it has pleased thee in the past week, suddenly and unexpectedly, to take out of their midst a dear father, grandfather, great-grandfather, husband, brother, and further family member. For him it has become eternity. And although this family do not have to grieve as those that have no hope, still such a difficult way to part and to entrust our beloved one to the grave, to await for the great day of the resurrection. Then we commend unto thee her who has now become widow for the second time in her life, and all the circumstances are known unto thee. Remember the children with the spouses. Lord, uphold, wilt thou strengthen, and wilt thou comfort. Then we commend unto thee all the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, many still so young, but, O Lord, in the light of that never-ending eternity, then there is not so much difference in our age, because it is written in thy holy word that there is only one step between us and death. Wilt thou uphold, especially in the family circle, those that were called to go to the cemetery before? Oh, this family many years ago, then mother was buried, but it has also pleased thee to take out of their midst very many years ago a little brother. Thou wast taken out of their midst a daughter-in-law, a stillborn, and a grandson. And then surely in this day and in these days, then the thought shall multiply, then the wound shall be reopened, and to that end, wilt thou grant that special place at thy footstool, where they may come with their sorrow. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may this calling of death, may it be sanctified, that from the death of this dear one, that dead sinners may be quickened to eternal life. O Lord, we humbly beg of thee, come down with thy Holy Spirit and work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Do bind the solemnity, the seriousness, the shortness of life upon all our hearts, and the certainty of death, of judgment and eternity, because it is written in thy holy word that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. And now thou grantest this precious time of grace, that by thy grace we may be given to seek and find thee, and as a poor sinner, a lost sinner, a hell-worthy sinner, may be saved and washed of all of our sins in the blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May it please thee to bless thy holy word to that end. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. Lord, thou wast given that the deceased was enabled with thy help to labor many years in the midst of this church. The seed of thy holy word has abundantly been sown, and then those that have sat under the reading services, catechism classes, then in this day, in this time, then they do well to examine their hearts whether thy word has been blessed. We commend unto thee the congregation where he was a member. We commend unto thee the Bethesda, who were privileged to lovely care for him for 6 years, another empty place in the midst of them. Wilt thou work by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, also in our care home. Wilt thou remember widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery, where their thoughts shall multiply. And, Lord, when in our immediate family circles, when there are no empty places, that we take it not all for granted, but that we may be given to pause and consider and come at thy footstool for all our needs. Lord, remember thy servant of this congregation, and now we humbly ask thee, do open thy holy word. Anoint us with fresh oil from above, and may thy word be blessed for the conversion of sinners, and that thy people may be given to make their calling and election sure. For the unconverted, it shall be so terrible to have to appear before thee, but for thy true people, then they shall be delivered from self, from the devil, and from the world, and given to praise thee forevermore. Impress upon our hearts the reason why we are gathered together, and that is what we have done in paradise, and our sins. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 6. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, and neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your member servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Family Feeder, it has pleased the Lord this past Friday to take your dear father, grandfather, great-grandfather, out of the land of the living, he was brought into eternity. Then it has pleased the Lord to grant him unto you as a family for many years. He became 94 years old, and the Lord, till the very end, until his heart attack, has given a remarkable measure of health for his body and for his mind. And now he is no more. And although as a family do not have to mourn as those that have no hope, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, he has spoken oftentimes of that one thing needful, that we need to be born again. We need to become new creatures, new longings, no desires. It shall be terrible to die unconverted. We need to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the pardoning of our sins. And now in today, we are called upon to bring him to the cemetery. Not the first time that the immediate family been called upon to go to the cemetery. 25 years ago, it has pleased the Lord to take out of your midst your dear mother. The family has also lost a little brother, Adrian, 13 months old. The Lord has taken out of your midst a daughter-in-law and two grandchildren. The Lord has made a difference where there is no difference. And now, family Fader, then on such a solemn occasion, then we do well, and we are called to examine each of our hearts. If you are now laying in that coffin with your soul at eternity, where would your soul then be? Children, the Lord grant a special place at his footstool, where you may come with that empty place, and that this calling may be sanctified. When we still have our parents, or even one, then it is natural to look up to them, more or less expecting, although we know you have experienced in the family, the Lord has not always taken the order of age. But now when your father is gone, then surely you are standing on the front line. And then the question is, are we prepared? Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, your grandfather and great-grandfather, in your eyes, he was very old. And that is correct, because we read in Psalm 90, verse 10, 80 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years, and the deceased became 94 years old. But you have experienced in the family circle that the young can also die. And to that end, may it please the God of all grace, by His Holy Spirit, to use this death for your conversion. Solomon has said, boys and girls, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And why did Solomon now say now and today? Because we do not know whether there shall be a tomorrow. And therefore, boys and girls, ask the Lord every day, young people, for a new heart that may love the Lord, that may hate sin, that fears the Lord, a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The service of the Lord, that is such a good service. Can I prove that? When you ask a true child of God that has been wrought upon by the Spirit, come on the school of King Jesus, then a true child of God shall never tell you, it would have been nice if the Lord had waited to convert me when I have become older. No, many a child of God, when they become older, they have to look with sorrow upon their former life. And therefore, family Fader, may you be given oftentimes on your knees, asking the Lord for that one thing needful. Because for the family Fader, a large family, there is a next one. We're all on the list. Do you believe you have to die? Do you believe you have to die? By nature we live as if we shall stay here forever. Who amongst us believes that in this day can even be, before we go to the cemetery, that we are in eternity? And therefore the necessity of Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, because for the family Fader, there is one name on the top. And what if that is now your name? Then the question is, are you prepared? The Lord has given that the deceased may serve for many years the congregation of Fort McLeod. Reading services, catechism, the official duties of elders, they are manifold. And then those that have sat under those means of grace, then you do well in this day to examine your hearts, whether that word has been blessed. Was either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. The Lord remember the congregation of Lethbridge, the last two members that have been taken away, Yanni de Kock, and now Mr. Fader. They were both the oldest members But Lethbridge, you have also experienced that the younger ones are also taken away. For Bethesda, another empty place, you were privileged, allowed to take care of the deceased for approximately 6 years. May the Lord remember you all. May it please the Lord to also work by His Holy Spirit, lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Then for each and every one of us, then there is one thing needful. That is what we wish to meditate upon in this morning hour. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These text words, they speak of an indispensable triple knowledge necessary to meet our Maker. And then first, the wages of sin is death. Secondly, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then the third point, that is the proof and the evidence, our Lord. Romans 6, that speaks especially of sanctification. That word means to become holy. And then at the end of this chapter, that word for especially refers to chapter 6, but also chapter 5, where it speaks of justification. For the wages of sin is death, and that word wages in the Greek, that has special reference to a soldier. A soldier under a certain banner. Which banner are we under, family? Because in the Bible, I read of two people, two ways, and two eternal destinations. And in Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, it is told that by nature we are on that broad way, but that we must come by the grace of God on that narrow way. For the wages of sin is death. The Lord is just. I read in Genesis 2, verse 17, that the Lord has said unto Adam, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In paradise, there were no cemeteries or graves, boys and girls. Everything was perfection. Adam and Eve were given to delight in their Creator and Benefactor. But we in our covenanted Adam, we have taken of that forbidden fruit. And so death has passed upon all men. Thus the wages of sin, as we read, is death, and that word sin, that is transgressing the law of God, but it also means that we are missing the mark. The Lord has created us that we may honor Him, but through our deep fallen Adam and through our sins, we have lost our purpose. And now the Lord, in His justice, then He punishes sin. He can do no other because is so righteous. He is unchangeable. And now concerning the wages of sin is death. Then those wages are paid out already here in the time in beginning. Many examples in the Bible of those that have mocked with the Lord and with His Word, that the consequences were very bitter. This family, may this word, may that have a central place in your family circles and in your lives, because I read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, those that honor me I will honor, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The wages of sin is death. Spiritual death, that we are so dead that we do not even realize how lost we are. That's why we continue so easy. Temporal death. And if we are not saved by the grace of God, then eternal death. It's in hell. Shall be so terrible. We think of the company. We think of the pain, the cursing. Shall be tormented. Our conscience as a gnawing worm. Then it shall all come back. What we have done. Despise God's word and the gospel. And how long shall eternity be? Boys and girls, how long? Forever. Shall be no clock in eternity. And we shall never be able to say that we are half. Always more before. But now our text says more. There was a period, then we could well despair. But our text proclaims a way unto us and our children, even in this day, in the midst of death, a way for us and our children to be saved. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And now it is necessary. Christ came to die for sinners. But may I ask you, have you now truly become a sinner? A black sinner? A vile sinner? An unworthy sinner? Has that taken place in your life? Have you become the chiefest of sinners? Do you know what our trouble is by nature? We are not too bad to be saved. Because I read in 1 John 1 verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. But we think we are too good. And to that end, the necessity that experientially in our heart, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we become such a sinner. Because they read in Matthew 9 verse 12, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And now in this day, oh, may we be given to beg in these solemn and serious days for a richer outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then and beginning we shall find our life declared in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And now that second point, who does that now receive value for? That is for sinners that have been uncovered and that have done their best by their works. Because when the Lord converts us, then God becomes real. And then our sin becomes real. And then we shall do our utmost to please the Lord on account of that love, because I read in Galatians 5 verse 6 that faith worketh by love on account of that love for the Lord. Then we have a desire to please. If it is possible to never sin no more, but now it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of His true people to uncover deeper and deeper, and that we become a lost sinner, unable to save ourselves. And then what a wonder and what a blessing when it may be declared, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And now concerning that eternal life, oh, for God's true people, the day of their death is the day of their deliverance. It is true. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, the last enemy is death. Enemy that has been conquered by Christ. But for God's people, what a day it is. Delivered in the first place from self, from the world, and from the devil. And then what a glorious company that shall be. There shall not be a Judas among them. And then their occupation, that shall be to be given to praise the Lord forever and ever. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, family, Vader, and friends, what is now necessary to enter heaven? That is all included in our text, because it is through Jesus Christ. Oh, it is true. He is the gift of the Father. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Oh, Paul has declared, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And now Jesus Christ, as the gift of the Father, then He has merited what is necessary for His people to enter heaven. And now to enter heaven, then all our sins need to be forgiven. Cannot enter into heaven with our sins. And that is impossible from our side. And now the Lord Jesus Christ has not died for all people, for His chosen people. Give my life for my sheep. Then He has taken all the sins of His people upon Him. He has suffered and died. He has hung on the cross for His church, that His church may go free. Thus to that end, then it is necessary that such souls, that they are quickened, taken from under the banner of the devil that takes place in the moment of regeneration when the Lord begins that good work. And that is necessary because we read in John 3, verse 3, that Christ has said to Nicodemus, "Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Thus the blessings, regeneration, justification, that means to be acquitted from our sins, and to receive a right to eternal life, and thirdly, sanctification. That precious name of Jesus means Savior, to be delivered from the greatest evil, to be brought to the supreme good. That is the communion with the triune God. And the name Christ, his threefold office, prophet, priest, and king, that as people may be saved, family, congregation, friends, where is our journey to? That is the question this morning. On which way are we traveling? Has that wonder now taken place? Have we become new creatures? Have we received an impression that we are lost, that we have sinned against such a good doing and such a just God, and that we can never make payment ourselves? The necessity. We live in a day that there is much resting outside of that only name of Jesus in the midst of the church. But oh, in this morning hour, then it may be declared that there is a Savior so suitable and so precious for the chiefest of sinners. Oh, the psalmist has declared that he is fairer than the children of men, and grace is poured out upon his lips. And that name may be declared in the midst of us in this morning hour, but young and old, it needs to be experienced by the application of the Holy Spirit. Our third thought, the evidence and proof, because it says through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That word Lord, that is a title of respect, but that also implies possessor, ownership. That's our Lord. That has connection with the word for. Of course, he is not made Lord because God's people confess and believe that it is so. He is Lord because they read in Revelation 19, verse 16, that John was given to see that on his vesture was written, "Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." But now, as proof and evidence, because we live in a time that there are so many that speak of Christ, good and necessary, but never become a sinner, and concerning their walk does not reflect the last two words of our text words. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, then he has closed that sermon, the verses 16 through 20, a tree. And ye shall know a tree by their fruits. And then in the verses 24 through 27 of two people that were building a house, one on a rock and the other on sand. And the storm came. And the one house fell. And the other stood. One the Lord works. On account of that love shed abroad in the heart, then that people, they have a desire to own him as Lord. How often do we not read in the scriptures, the Psalms, thy servant? We read in the scriptures, think of Ruth, handmaiden. Hannah has called herself a handmaiden. Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, seven times thine handmaiden. Thus that means people, when the Lord converts us and he grants those living and new desires and longings for the Lord and his righteousness, then it becomes evident in our life. True sanctification is only in part. James 3, we offend in many things. If you read the following chapter, Romans 7, then Paul has declared, I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing in me, to will is present, but how to perform it I find not. Yet I delight in the law of God, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, but thanks be unto Jesus Christ. Thus, that is the examination. Who do we love? Do we truly love the Lord? When a husband and wife loves one another, then that is evident, can be seen. Seek each other's communion, try not to grieve one another, can be multiplied out. When the Lord works, a love to the Lord, a love to his word, a love to his law, even though that law condemns us, then we have a love to the people of God, choice of a Ruth. We made it. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Then we have a love for his house. Then we shall not leave her place unlawfully empty. Then we have a love to everything that has to do with the Lord. Then it is our desire to walk in his ways. Where is our journey to? Also this morning, we are gathered together. There is a next one amongst us, shall be the first that is taken away. Are you ready? Are you prepared? My unconverted fellow travelers to eternity. Oh, come on your knees. Tell the Lord how it is. Maybe you have no desire for the Lord. You want the world. Then you hope to become happy. Shall not be so. Tell the Lord how it is. How unconverted. But that the Lord may become too strong. What a wonder it would be. Out of the family could be a time that you could say was the funeral of father, grandfather, great-grandfather, that I believe that the Lord has stopped me, turned me, placed me on that narrow way, instructed me, oh, family fader, he is so worthy to be served. What shall it be if we have to go lost under such a precious gospel, then you can never say that you never knew it. You can never say that. People of God, how necessary. Peter has admonished the church in 2 Peter 1 verse 10 to make our calling and election sure. And in 2 Peter 3 verse 18 to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, for the unconverted shall be so terrible. But for the living church of Jesus Christ, then they shall be ushered into eternity to forever praise the Lord, oh, to extol Him, because it is grace, free and sovereign grace, oh, people of God, who maketh thee to differ. We shall close with Isaiah 55, the verses 6 and 7. I hope there are those, even young people, that think, what must I now do? Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. So missed in our day. It's talking about believing. But he read in Mark 1, verse 15, believe, repent, and believe. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it please Thee to bless Thy holy word. Oh, apply it to the hearts. May Thy kingdom come, Lord. Remember this family from the youngest to the oldest. They all have a soul. They are all traveling to eternity and so lost. That is all lost. And we have heard what is necessary to learn here in the time, a knowledge of our sin, a knowledge of the Savior, and that true gratitude, although it is only in part. Lord, wilt Thou now remember and help when we are called to go to the cemetery? Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall close with the singing of Psalter 422. The 8th stanza. Remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. Has man then lived in vain, who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? O Lord, recall Thy love, Thy words to David spoken, sustain us as of yore by covenant oaths unbroken. 422, stanza 8.